Hey, as we continue on our study here in eschatology, what we're going to do is a little bit different. And the reason I'm going to do it this way is because of the length of the test is a little bit longer than any test that you've had. Easier, of course, but a little bit longer. And what we're going to do is give you the test questions tonight, because next Sunday is Memorial Day and we're not going to have an evening service. So this way it'll give you 3 weeks in order to study for the test and to memorize a few of the little things that we have on here and so forth. So when we come back after Memorial Day, we'll give you the test and the questions and the answers tonight, and that'll be the skeleton. But then we'll put the sinew up on that on our first week back after Memorial Day. We'll give you the teaching on it and hang the meat up on the skeleton and give you the meat of the word there that substantiates what we have on the test here. So that's the reason we're doing it in reverse, in order to give you an extra week to study, which I'm sure that you'll appreciate. Okay, so we'll go and make sure we get through all the test questions. I think there's about 53.
Oh, you were close.
I wasn't far off, was I? Okay, this is test number 9 on eschatology. The memory verse is is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 7. Remember, I changed that. Okay. How many know what 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 says? Okay, David?
I couldn't
Well, sure you can. How long have you been a Christian? Here we go. Trial of your faith, being much... Though it be tried by fire. Go ahead. Go ahead. Okay. Finish it up, Dave. He's got it. Okay. Okay. Remember verse 1 Peter 1:7. Question number 1. There is a universal belief in life after death. Is that true or false? Anybody want to tell me? True. Sure. Everybody, even the heathen, worship something, don't they? It's not the true God. Question number 2. Death in the Bible always means what? Separation. All right. Question number 3. Where in the Old Testament are the two resurrections spoken of? The answer is Daniel chapter 12 in verse 2. Question number 4. The body, soul, and spirit will all be resurrected at the rapture of the dead. True or false? Well, speak out with confidence now. You have, I hear these little... Can somebody say, true? Or can somebody say, false? Which is it? You want me to read the question again? The body, soul, and spirit will all be resurrected at the rapture of the dead. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and that's what you alive remain. Shall we come up together to meet the Lord in the clouds? So shall we ever be with the Lord? That's the rapture of the dead. But that's not the question. The answer is false. The only thing that's going to be raptured is going to be the body. The soul and spirit are all ready to come back. Okay, question 5. When were the Old Testament saints looking for their resurrection? Somebody tell me. When were the Old Testament saints looking for their resurrection? At the start of the millennium. They had to be resurrected in order to reign in the millennium, right? If Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in Matthew chapter 8, in verse 10 to 12, many shall come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You can't sit down with them. They just got a soul and spirit, amen. They got to have a resurrection. Got to have a body. Okay. Question 6. When are the Christians in the church age looking for their transformation? When? What time period? just prior to the rapture. Or what am I doing? Just prior to the tribulation, because it starts that. That's the answer we want. Just prior to the tribulation. Question number 7, how do we know that no Christian will go through the 7-year tribulation period? The answer is, and you've got to put the verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 says, we shall all be changed, everyone. We have a lot of false views on that, that if you're not living the Christian life, you've got to go partly through the tribulation. If you're out of fellowship, you go partly through. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, you have to put that, says we shall all be changed. Okay? Question number 8, give one proof that refutes reincarnation. The answer is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. We are absent from the body and present with the Lord, not present in another body. Of course, there's many other reproofs of it too. There's proofs of it at Matthew there 17 at the Transfiguration, the Metamorphosis. Moses and Elijah were there. There's Revelation chapter 6 and all of that. But we just want one answer. We are absent from the body, present with the Lord. But you got to give the verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8. And question number 9, the first resurrection is composed of only what? The answer is all saved. Only the saved. Question number 10, the first resurrection is composed of 5 parts. Name them in order. Now you have that in your book with the one exception we put in. Okay, we have what? We have Christ is the first fruits, right? Then we have in Matthew, many after the resurrection of Christ. Then the rapture. Then the 2 witnesses in Revelation 11. And the Old Testament saints at the end of the tribulation. So you have to have those 5 in order. Okay, they're very simple. Just remember this. Who was the first to be resurrected? Christ is the first fruits, right? Okay. After him, there were many that came out of the graves and walked in Jerusalem. It's the second phase of the first resurrection. The third phase is the rapture of the church. The fourth phase is the 2 witnesses in Revelation 11. And the 5th part of the first resurrection, which are all saved, is the resurrection of the Old Testament saints at the end of the tribulation. Okay? Question 11. The second resurrection is composed of all the what? Lost. Okay? That's the answer. Very good. Question 12. When does this take place? When does this take place? The second resurrection composed of all the what? Lost. When does it take place? The answer is after the millennium. Remember the Great White Throne Judgment? It takes place after the millennium. Of course, we know that Satan is released out of his prison in Revelation chapter 20, and then he goes out to deceive all the nations of the world and so forth. And then, after that, we find out he's cast into the lake of fire, and then we find out we have the Great White Throne Judgment. Okay? Question 13. There are 3 things, or 3 comings of Christ foretold in Scripture. What are they? First of all, there are 3. First of all, the coming of Christ to die on the cross. The coming of Christ for his church, the rapture. And the third is the coming of Christ to the earth at the end of the tribulation. Those are the 3 comings promised in Scripture. Question number 14. The second resurrection is for those who will appear at what? What will they appear at? Where will they appear at? The Great White Throne Judgment. That's the answer. That's good. Question 15. Almost immediately after the rapture, what is one of the first things to transpire? The answer is, somebody tell me? What's one of the first things to take place right after the rapture? No, not the first. Makes a Antichrist makes a covenant with Israel. Antichrist makes a covenant with Israel. But that's good thinking, though, because we'll get to that. Question 16. The next major event after this is what? You got it. The invasion of Russia on Israel. The invasion of Israel by Russia. Question 17, who will be allied with this great nation? Now, you have a multiple choice, five multiple choices. Now, you know most of them, do you not? Okay, just keep this in mind. Okay, the five in Ezekiel chapter 38 are Libya, Ethiopia, right? Persia, we know her as Iran today because in 1935 she changed her name from Persia to Iran. And we have Togarma or Togarma, which is Turkey. And we have Gomer, which is Germany. So we have Libya, Ethiopia, Persia, Germany, and Turkey. Right? Okay, now you have three choices. The first choice is Turkey, Iran, Egypt, Persia, Ethiopia. B, Libya, Germany, Asia, Persia, Ethiopia. Or we have C, Ethiopia, Libya, Iran, Turkey, and Germany. Or we have D, Egypt, Persia, Turkey, Germany, and Iraq. Or we have E, Germany, Persia, Iraq, Ethiopia, and Turkey. So if you know what the five are, you'll have no problem. Okay? Question 18. This multiple choice, all you got to do is put down the number. The answer is already written out for you. This is what makes this test so easy. Question number 18. The Antichrist will be a family man so as to appear to the majority of the people who have families and children. True or false? Bob?
False.
That's right. In Daniel chapter 11, verse 37, he shall not regard women. Okay. Question number 19. The Antichrist will present himself as a God greater than Jehovah God. True or false? Okay, Bob?
True. Because he exalts himself above God when he goes into...
Where does it say he exalts himself above God?
Himself as God.
There's a big difference there. The answer is false. 2 Thessalonians 2:4, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, so he as God setteth in the temple. So he just claims to be the God. You see? Okay. Not greater than Jehovah, but he claims to be Jehovah. Oh, there. Okay, question number 20. How do we conclude that the army that invades Israel will take place shortly after the rapture? The answer is, in Ezekiel chapter 39, it takes Israel 7 years to destroy all their weapons. So you have to have that down where it's found. In Ezekiel chapter 39, it takes 7 years to destroy their weapons, which means they have to be destroyed at the beginning of the tribulation period, since it's a 7-year tribulation period. Okay, do you have the answer now? Somebody give me the answer. What's the answer that we just gave you to give? Well, yeah, but you got to go on. Okay, that's what you have to have. Question number 21. In Ezekiel chapter 39:2, it says, I will turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee. Sixth is a mistranslation and should have been translated total destruction. Which Hebrew word is correct? A is shaw shaw, S-H-A-W, S-H-A-W, and B is S-H-A, S-H-A-H. Which one of those Hebrew words is correct?
The S-H-A-W.
Okay, correct. That's right. So all you have to do is put A down. Question 22. See how simple this is? The Valley of Dry Bones in Ezekiel chapter 37 is referring to who? The nation of Israel. All right? Good. Now, like we say, we'll go back and teach on this and so forth and put the meat on it. We're just giving you the skeleton now so you'll have an extra week to study for it, okay? Question 23. There are three tribulations spoken of in Scripture. What are they? Number one is tribulation of Christians during the church age. Number two, the tribulation period. And number three, the last 3.5 years, the great tribulation spoken of. Those are the three. Question number 24. The Holy Spirit will permanently indwell every Christian just as it did in the church age. True or false? False. That's right. Now, the reason that you can conclude that, how will the Holy Spirit work in the 7-year tribulation period? How will it work? And it's very simple. The 7-year tribulation period is the 70th week of Daniel. The 69 weeks of Daniel, or the 483 years of Israel, was in the what? The Old Testament, wasn't it? Sure, up until Christ shall be crucified, the Messiah shall be cut off. Then we have the 7-year tribulation period, but how did the Holy Spirit work in the Old Testament?
He came out before they left.
Well, he came upon men, then he left, didn't he? So since the 7-year tribulation period is part of the Old Testament, the conclusion of the Old Testament, the 7 years makes up the 490 years of prophecy that everything will happen there to Israel will happen in those 490 years. So that 7 years is still part of the Old Testament, only it had been postponed because of the church age, because Israel rejected Christ as their Savior. Okay? Go ahead. Okay, the 144,000 are sealed.
Okay.
Are they sealed with the Holy Spirit or sealed by the power of God?
Well,
tell me, give me the verse that says they're sealed by the Holy Spirit. There is none.
One.
There isn't one. Then why did you say it was sealed with the Holy Spirit? I know. I know. Isn't it terrible? Sometimes you sort of reach out there and end up and come back with a stub of a hand. But that's rather than, that's nicer than saying you stuck your foot in your mouth. Now, we don't say things like that, do we? Because that's too embarrassing. We don't say stuff like that. And but we do have a good time. Okay, let's see here. Now you got me so worked up here. I forgot what question I'm on. I think it's 25. The Antichrist presents himself as God when? When does he do that? Middle of the tribulation period. That's the answer. Question number 26. His identification mark is blank, to be placed blank or blank. See how easy this is? So his identification mark is what? 666, to be placed blank or blank. Huh? That's right. Okay, on your forehead or upon your right hand. Good. Question number 27. Where are the two witnesses spoken of in the New Testament? You just need the book and the chapter. You don't need the verb, huh?
Revelation.
The book and the chapter. It's like putting your foot in water without having your boots on. The book and the chapter. Now you guys ought to peel this, huh?
Chapter
11. Of what?
Of Revelation.
Okay, right, that's the answer. Question 28. Where are the 144,000 spoken of in the New Testament? The book and chapters. 7 and 14. That's right. Absolutely right. Let me put that down here. Yeah, I need a little help on that. I forgot where that was at. Question 29. There are two battles of Gog and Magog. Describe each and where. Number one, the first and the second. Your answer is, the first battle of Gog and Magog is, and you've got to have this included, so I know you know what you're talking about. The answer to the first battle of Gog and Magog is, after the rapture, after Israel makes a covenant with the Antichrist, then Russia and her allies invade Israel. That's the first battle of Gog and Magog, in Ezekiel chapter 38. The second battle of Gog and Magog, the answer is, and you've got to write this out and explain it to me, at the end of the millennium, after Satan is released out of the bottomless pit and gathers his army of all of the unsaved. Now, when you say, and here's something very interesting, you say, well, where are they going to get the unsaved? They're born of Christian parents. The millennium starts with all the saved, but they have children. And those children in Matthew chapter 8, verse 11 and 12 says, right after it says, For many shall come from the east and west, sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom. Then the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. The children of the kingdom. These are children that are born in the kingdom that reject Christ and follow Satan in the second battle of Gog and Magog after he's released out of prison. They will be cast into outer darkness along with Satan into the lake of fire. Now, does that make sense? Now, you begin to see what that verse is speaking about in Matthew chapter 8, verse 11 and 12? There? Okay. Okay, let's go on down here. Let's see where we're at here now. Where are we at here? Search age. Okay. Question number 30. If you have heard the gospel before the rapture, you cannot be saved until the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. True or false? Read it again. If you have heard the gospel before the rapture, you cannot be saved until the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. True or false? Okay. Why is it false? Why do you say false?
You can be saved any time before the rapture.
Huh? Well, whoopee-doo. But the question is, if you have heard the gospel before the rapture, you cannot be saved until the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. So we're assuming you go into the tribulation period unsaved. You've heard the gospel, but you're not saved until after the rapture. Or we're saying you missed the rapture because you never accepted Christ, and you cannot be saved until the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. True or false? It would be false, because you can be saved in the first 3.5 years. Because he says, with all, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. The word a doesn't appear there. The lie. So in other words, you can be saved in the first 3.5 years, but if you reject Christ in the first 3.5 years, you will accept the Antichrist. The word A doesn't appear. There's no Greek or Hebrew letter for the letter A. You remember that in our studies. Remember that? It should be the definite article the. So with all deceivableness, of unrighteousness, and them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. And all that believe, or all the unbelievers, will be damned. Now, when is the lie revealed? Yep, in the middle of the tribulation, so they can be saved in the first 3.5 years. All right? So, the question is, if you've heard the gospel before the rapture, you cannot be saved until the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. That's false. Okay? You know that. Question 31. When does the Battle of Armageddon take place? When does that take place? Since we haven't taught on all of this yet, you're just going by some of the previous teaching that we've had. When does the Battle of Armageddon take place? Huh? No, that's the second battle. At the end of what? At the end of the tribulation, all right? That's the answer to it. So question 32. In Revelation chapter 16, verse 12, the kings of the east are described as those fighting at Armageddon. Name three of the major countries. The kings of the east literally should be translated the land of the rising sun. The three major countries are China, India, and Japan. Those would be the three major countries that come. There will be others, the three major countries. China, 200 million. Japan, millions. India, hundreds of thousands of people. It's going to be quite a battle. In fact, in Revelation, it tells us there that the blood will flow as deep as the horses' bridles in the valley of Jehoshaphat, and shows us one thing, that death will be instantaneous. For the blood to flow, you have to have instantaneous death before it coagulates. And it'll run about 180 miles long in the Valley of Esdraelon there. You're going to have millions and millions of people that come there to fight in the Battle of Armageddon. And the blood will flow, death will be instantaneous, won't be much of a battle. Won't it be great to be coming back with the Lord and watching all that? I say, sick them, give it to them, that you bunch of misfits. And, you know, you had your chance, you followed the Antichrist, you killed Christians, you so forth. But anyway, the answer is China, Japan, and India. Question 33, how do we know the two witnesses are not Moses and Elijah? How do we know that? The answer is Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Moses and Elijah have died, right? Okay. Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto man to die once, and then the judgment. And you can't die on your resurrected body, can you? Does a resurrected body die? Well, how then could it be Moses and Elijah? Because the two witnesses die. Their bodies lie in the streets of Jerusalem there 3.5 days. And spiritually called Sodom. So if it was Moses and Elijah, their spiritual body can't die. But the answer is, put down Hebrews 9:27. That's the answer. It's appointed unto man once to die. To die once, and then the judgment. Question number 34. Revelation chapter 1, verse 19, gives the basic outline of the book of Revelation. Explain the following. Number 1, we have has seen. Number 2, which are. And number 3, shall be hereafter. You've got to describe it. The first thing you put under, write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Hast seen, just put past. Which are, present. Which shall be hereafter, future. Then, after that, you put, when John wrote that outline, the past was chapter 1, the crucified and glorified Christ. He had seen that. Christ crucified and resurrected. Number 2, which are? You have present. The 7 churches representing the church age. Number 3, which shall be hereafter? You put future. You put that down. Prophetic from chapter 4 to 19. Now, I want to go back because I left 2 things out. Write the things which thou hast seen, we put past. Right? Christ crucified and resurrected, chapter 1 covers that. In the book of Revelation, the natural outline of the book of Revelation. Number 2, write the things which are, that is present, chapters 2 and 3, the 7 churches representing the church age. Now you have to have all that in there. Number 3, shall be hereafter, future. Chapters 4 to 19, prophetic events. And that's all you need to put, prophetic. So we need past, present, and future. We need what the past is, referring to the past, crucified, and resurrected Christ, chapter 1. We need which are, that is, chapters 2 and 3, the 7 churches representing the church age. Now you need that in there. That is present. Shall be hereafter is future, chapters 4 to 19, all prophetic. Okay? Okay, that takes care of, question was that? 34? Okay. This is why I'm giving you an extra, you probably don't need it, but I'll give you an extra week here to study on this thing here. Question number 35. Question 35, the Antichrist, false prophet, and Satan are all cast into the lake of fire at the end of the millennium. True or false? Okay.
The Antichrist and false prophet cast in
first. Cast in when? When
the...
Huh? Okay, let me give you the question again, because it's true or false, so we'll stick with that. The Antichrist, false prophet, and Satan are all cast into the lake of fire at the end of the millennium. Is that true or false? False is right, absolutely. You find out the Antichrist, or we should say in the false prophet, or the beast and the false prophet, they're cast in Revelation chapter 19, the last four or five verses, they're cast in to the lake of fire at the end of the tribulation. Satan, at the end of the tribulation, is chained. It's not until chapter 20 do we find out that he is cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are. Okay? So he's cast in there at the end of the millennium, where the beast and the false prophet are cast in there at the end of the tribulation. So the answer is false, okay? Question number 36. At the start of the millennium, three nations are born in a day. The question is, who are the three and where are they found in Scripture? So there are four parts to the question. It's very simple. Where is it found in Scripture? Isaiah chapter 19. You don't have to put verse 24 and 25. Just put Isaiah chapter 19. The three nations are, and it says in verse 24 and 25, the three nations are, he says, Assyria, the work of my hands, Egypt, my people, and Israel, mine inheritance. Three nations born in a day. And you say, now, we'll just throw this in a little extra here. Why Assyria, when they were in 721 B.C., took Israel captive? They kept them alive. They were some of the most cruel people that ever was, but they kept them alive. They were very kind to Israel. You say, well, what about Egypt? They kept them there for with the taskmasters for 430 years. They sure did. But they let them go, too, didn't they? Cost them a lot, but they kept them alive, did they not? Egypt was very kind in many ways, even though there are times when there was another king which knew not Joseph came onto the being and so forth. They were under the taskmasters and so forth, had to bake the bricks without straw, and that was very hard. But Egypt kept them alive. About 2 million, they say, 400,000 came out of Egypt there. Where do you get that? Well, there was about 600, we find out, in the Word of God tells us there's about 600 men, where did I get here? Not 600. Was it 600,000? Scratch that till I go back and look that up. But they figure that there were, was it 600 or 6,000? I can't remember which now. Fighting men from age 20 on up, and they figure 4 to a family, which makes it 2,400,000. So would it be 600 or 6,000? Well, you figure it out. Tell me. Yeah? Yeah. So that would make 2,400,000. Okay, thank you. Okay, that's good. Okay, where are we at here now? Where are we at here now? Okay, so there's three answers, or four answers to that. At the start of the millennium, three nations are born in a day. Who are they, and where are they found in Scripture? Where are they found in Scripture now? Isaiah 19. And we start out Assyria and Israel, all right? That's good. Now, question number 39, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 40. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I do. Question 37. Look up Zechariah chapter 14, verse 12. Let's go over there and look that up, all right? Zechariah chapter 14, verse 12. Now, these are very easy here. This is sort of a gift. Okay, Zechariah chapter 14, in verse 12. Very interesting verse. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord shall smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. Now, the question is, where are we at down here? 37 here. The question is here, when will this take place? When will this prophecy take place? Now, you remember Hiroshima or Hiroshima and Nagasaki? Remember when they dropped the atomic bomb there? People just disintegrated right there while they stood on their feet. This will be the same thing that takes place now. From the previous discussion that we've had in the class so far here, when would this take place? When will this prophecy take place? At what judgment will this take place? You should be able to figure that out now without too much trouble. At Armageddon, absolutely. If the blood flows as deep as a horse's bridle, it would have to be an instantaneous death, right? Absolutely, very good. That's the answer to it. It'll take place at the Battle of Armageddon. Now, let's go over to Revelation chapter 14, verse 20, all right? We have another question on this. Revelation chapter 14 here in verse 20, okay? This is a gift horse in the mouth here. And Revelation 14, 20 says, and the winepress was trodden without the city, and the blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs, or approximately here, 160 to 200 miles. Where does that take place? Do you see how lenient that I am? I tell you, this is a gift. Okay, let's see here now. We have question. Now we're up to question 39, all right? Matthew chapter 12, verse 40 describes the rapture when two shall be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. True or false? Who say?
False.
Okay, that's right. Question number 40. In Matthew chapter 25, God judges the nations. What happens to the sheep, the saved, and the goats, the lost? A, the sheep, then you got to describe. They reign with Christ in the kingdom. B, the goats. The answer is cast alive into the everlasting fire. Now, at that particular time, that's the only time they don't go through the great white throne judgment. They're boom. You never find where they come out of the lake of fire. The lake of fire, Gehenna, or Hinnom, is the final abode. So when they're cast into there, they're already judged right there, and that's what will happen. Okay, question number 41. At the rapture, Christ comes to the earth to gather his church. True or false? False. Why is it false? Clouds, all right. Boy, you're so sharp. Nobody can get anything past you. You guys are sharp, okay? Question number 42. In Ezekiel chapter 44, verses 1 and 2, is the gate to what temple? Let's see if you can figure this out. We'll give you a minute before we go. Let me just say this to you and you'll have it. Okay. Ezekiel chapter 40 to 48 has to do with the millennial reign of Christ. Everything in those chapters, those eight chapters, have to do with the millennial reign of Christ. So, here's your choice. Question 42 is this. In Ezekiel, or Ezekiel 44, 1 and 2, is the gate to what temple? You have five choices. Is it Solomon's temple? Is it Zerubbabel's temple? Is it Herod's temple? Is it the tribulation temple, or is it the millennial temple? I don't know why you need another week to study. I really don't. Question 43. Many scholars say the Eastern Gate is sealed after Christ ascended back to heaven and will not be opened until he returns to set up the kingdom. Why is this not true? The answer is Ezekiel 44, 1 and 2 says shut, not sealed. Now you need where it's told. Ezekiel chapter 44, 1 and 2 says it's shut, not sealed. You need all of that as your answer. But see, once you get your line of thinking into this on eschatology, it really becomes very simple. You have it down. The rapture of the church you have the seven-year tribulation period, you have it divided into half, the first three and a half, the last three and a half is the great tribulation, you have Christ coming back. Basically, the Antichrist makes a covenant with the Jews. The next thing is Russia comes down, invades there. They're destroyed. Then you have the Antichrist setting himself up, breaking the covenant with Israel, sets in the temple, declaring himself to be God, opposeth himself, who opposed and exalteth himself above all that is called God, so that he as God setteth in the temple, declaring himself to be God. At the end of the last 3.5 years, he requires the mark of the beast on your forehead or on your hand, upon your right hand. Christ comes back, judges the nations. And it's very simple. Once you get this little outline in your mind here, this little hat diagram, we still got it up there?
Yeah.
That's a good thing to put. We may print out some sheets to where it'll fit in your Bible, and you can just put it in there, and then put down what each one of these things are. Would you like that? Just to put in your Bible there, and we'll just like number them up here, you know. We'll just number an A, B, C, D, E, F, G, E, and so forth like that, and you'll have them right down there with at least one or two scriptures so that you can refer to it, just to carry in your Bible and have it with you if you want. Would you like for us to do that and put it out for you? Okay, we'll make that up and do that. Okay, so question 44. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15 and Mark chapter 13 verse 14, what is the abomination and desolation of spoken by Daniel the prophet? Number one, abomination, and you have to define what it is. The answer is, when the Antichrist goes into the Jewish temple and declares himself to be God. Desolation. Then you have to describe and explain what desolation is. When the Antichrist destroys Jerusalem and the temple, not one stone left upon another. And you've got to put all that in. So I know you know what you're talking about. Question number 45. How do we know the millennium lasts 1,000 years? The answer is, Revelation chapter 20 says that Satan is chained 1,000 years. Question number 46. During the millennium, all believers will be exempt from physical death. True or false? Why is it false? Let me read the question again. During the millennium, 1,000 years, all believers will be exempt from physical death. Why did you say false?
Well, I was thinking because you could still die, but they would keep on going living.
Would you give me any scripture that says any believer ever dies in the millennium?
I don't
know. Okay. Then Bob already got zapped once, so he's just sitting back there smiling. I said, now you shouldn't make fun of her because she had the backbone to come out and say what she thought, just like you did. But now she didn't laugh at you. Why is your mouth open and your teeth showing then? Okay. All right. Well, the answer to that would be, let's see, where are we at? What question were we on there now? During the millennium, all believers will be exempt from physical death. The answer is true. And the reason for that is, we find nowhere at all, long life will again be instituted. We find out from Isaiah chapter 65, 20, that the child shall live to be 99 years old. If he reaches 100 and has not accepted Christ, he shall be cut off, cast into the lake of fire. We find out where the unbeliever is cut off and he dies. But even then, he's allowed to live 99 years up until he would reach his 100th birthday. And if he hasn't accepted Christ, he's cut off. That's it. He's done. He's thrown into hell. We don't find anywhere during the millennium that the believer ever dies. So, okay, let's go on. Here we go. Question 47. What happens to those who reject Christ during the millennium? The answer is, which I just gave you, when they reach 100, they will die and be cast into the lake of fire. That's the answer. Now, you have to have all of that. When they reach a certain age, when they reach 100, they will die and be cast into the lake or into hell, you can put. That's fine. Question number 48. There will be no sin during the millennium, true or false? I got to look at my notes, see if that's right. There will be no sin during the millennium. False, there will be sin during the millennium? I thought that there will be no more wars or rumors of wars or anything. I thought that the animal kingdom will be restored where the wolf lies down with the lamb and so forth. I thought the animal kingdom will be restored. I thought the there will be no robberies, no murders, no rapes, no thievery, no anything. So how could there be sin? Okay, but leave that one out. I'm not on that line of thinking, even though you're right, even though. But you are right. You're right on the right. You're right on the right path. You really are. That's good. Let me put it this way. I think Cameron had it in his book this way. When you're convicted and in prison, you are in subjection because you have to be, right? I mean, if you're in prison for a crime or a murder or so forth, you're incarcerated and you have to be in subjection to the rules of the prison and so forth. We're talking about generally. We're not talking about insurrections or something like that. Even though there will be sin in the hearts of unbelievers with the sin of rejecting Christ, which is true, but there will also be the sin of judgment.